Good morning, Sunrise. Glorious day outside, glorious. Aren't we proud of the music and the musicians that help us worship and praise? Glorious morning. It's great to be alive. In your worship bulletin, you may have seen a blue insert that unfortunately we do not get to see the quilts here at 8:30. However, they will be presented. We're honoring with the presentation of service quilts Bill Banks and Steve Frick, Bill Gamble, and Ed Young. We thank them for their service. Could I ask Steve and Bill and Lynn? Is Lynn? She's not in the room right now. But could I ask you to stand, and we'd like to acknowledge your service. And thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. I remember as a kid being at my father's side on Memorial Day weekend. There were times when we would go out to a cemetery at the church that he was serving. And he became aware of the families that had service members who were in the cemetery, and we would decorate their graves. Is anyone young enough to remember when it was called Decoration Day? I think that started in the Civil War, so some of us remember that. So, but it's a holy weekend. And it's the official beginning to summer. You may or may not be able to tell that underneath my robe is a Hawaiian shirt. So it's officially summer for all of us. One other thing I'd like to share is there was an unfortunate accident in the kitchen. No one was harmed, but a tub rolled off a counter and landed on the stovetop that was glass. It broke. And there needs to be a replacement of that stove. And if you would like to make a contribution, a financial contribution, there is an upgrade selected to assist us in that unfortunate accident recovery. Our deductible is $1,000, so doesn't help. I'm hungry to hear the word of the Lord and stop talking. So let's pray. Oh Lord our God, open our hearts, open our minds. By the power of your Holy Spirit, that as Corey reads our scriptures and your word is proclaimed, we can hear with joy what it is you have to say to us today. Amen.
Our scripture on this second Sunday of Pentecost and Memorial Day Sunday is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers of powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. This I believe, this I discover, this I dream, this I wonder, this I know, this I believe. We just heard the words of the Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians and also from Colossians. Those selected verses are part of the creed, the affirmation of faith we shared earlier. I don't know about you, but there are moments in my life where I am pausing and I think, what is it that I believe? And how do I come to figuring that out? Let's figure out how Calvin discovers his belief. In the first frame, the teacher is saying, yes, Calvin, Miss Wormwood, I'm a fierce advocate of the separation of church and state. Nevertheless, I feel the need for spiritual guidance and comfort as I face the day's struggles. So, I was wondering if I could strip down, smear myself with paste, and set fire to this little effigy of you in a non-denominational sort of way. The final frame shows Calvin on his way to the principal's office. Boy, what a touchy subject. Ever been sent to the principal's office because your beliefs are a little askew? That somehow we find a way that we're searching and we're wondering, we're trying to discover, what is it that I believe? And gosh, that looks kind of cool. Let's smudge ourselves and burn our teachers in effigy. No. No. Somehow the community of faith regulates itself from time to time, and we invite one another to come back into the fold and to hold on to some truths that can gather us. Are you aware who've been the principals in your life? That from time to time, they're eager to explore things with you, but occasionally they'll say, maybe you should reconsider that one. And they help guide us. In this quest for what do you believe, we know that we are dependent upon our tradition, we're dependent upon the things we have access to, we're dependent on those we interact with. Our faith structures come to us because of a learning curve. And some of those things we're eager and acknowledging them. Others we're thinking, wait a minute, I need some room for me to think about that, to dwell on it. Is it part of my experience in my belief? Can I affirm those things? So here we are today with the Apostle Paul sharing words from 1 Corinthians and from Colossians. I'm going to invite you again to stand for our affirmation of faith. Let's rise as we're able. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Thank you for artificially standing, leaning to the left, lean to the right, stand up, sit down, praise, praise, praise. As we go through it, we don't do that as much as some churches do, but thanks be to God that we're here today. This particular affirmation is in our hymn book. It's number 888. Tried to figure out what the origins of it was and how they came to be. The editors of our book of worship and our hymn book, they included this because it's an affirmation of resurrection. It's an affirmation of the Christ. And they say on any given Sunday, the Lord's Day, the Lord's Day is a commemoration of the resurrection, and they offer this as from the Scriptures, the Apostle Paul's words coming to us, affirming Jesus Christ, the living Christ, in every single day, and especially on the Lord's Day, and they encourage us to share it on the Lord's Day from time to time. So the purpose of this particular affirmation of faith is to call us to that place where we keep Christ at the center of our lives. As Christian people, that's not unreasonable to keep Christ at the center of our lives. And as we keep Christ at the center of our lives, where's our vocabulary for the understanding of Christ come from? Well, the Apostle Paul. There are times when I read Paul and I confess that, Corey, you did a great job reading our scripture today. Amen? But your author, the Apostle Paul, occasionally when he talks, it feels like double talk. Or if I'm reading it, I have to go back and read a sentence again. Or there's words that I'm just not following. And it requires some deep thought because there's a lot there and it's very concentrated. And sometimes I'm thinking and my mind is racing, well, Paul, what were you talking about? And why were you telling the Colossians this? And my mind races to, well, what's your point? You might be thinking that today, right now. What's the point? Well, and occasionally we come to that place in the discovering of our vocabulary of faith. What's the point of Christ in our lives? And how do we come to acknowledge the place of Christ in our lives? Help us, Calvin. First frame shows Calvin speaking. Some people are pragmatists, taking things as they come and making the best of the choices available. And then he turns to Hobbes and says, some people are idealists, standing for principle and refusing to compromise. And then he says, and some people just act on any whim that enters their heads. The final frame, Hobbes is wondering, I wonder which you are. Calvin says, I pragmatically turn my whims into principles. How is it that we come to acknowledge what we believe? Are you a pragmatist, taking things as they come and making the best of the choices available? Perhaps an idealist, standing for principle and refusing to compromise? Perhaps we just act on any whim that enters our head. There are other possibilities of intellectual gathering of information for acknowledging what we believe and then standing firm or standing whimsically in our beliefs. I hope you're beginning to sort through not only what you believe, but how you come to believe that. For many of us, we come to this spectrum of belief that is represented in this room, all of us, in our ways that we've encountered the Lord and the Lord has encountered us, the ways in which we've been trained. So who taught us how to read the scriptures? Who taught us how to awaken them? Who are our continued mentors that awaken us to the understandings of the scripture? Scripture is often a foundation for our vocabulary of faith. And sometimes we become aware that scripture is pretty dynamic. Does anyone in the room remember the days when there was no other version of the scriptures than King James Bible? And without reading thee, thou, and forthwith, it's not the scripture. My memory holds the 23rd Psalm in the King James version of the Bible. And there are many scriptures that is the embedded vocabulary of faith for me. And yet, we know that the scriptures themselves were written in Greek and Hebrew. And the King James Bible came to be because St. Jerome once spent part of his lifetime in the basement of a church in Bethlehem in candlelight, translating from Hebrew to Greek into Latin. And the Latin version of the Bible was then translated into Old English. And the first person who tried to do that was burned at the stake because it shouldn't have been done because Latin was the only version of the Bible. And then the early Christians said, we're so mad that he translated into English. Let's dig up the ashes of his bones and burn them again. And yet the King James Bible is the foundation for the English-speaking part of the world to understand who Jesus Christ is in our lives. And there continues to be those translations that come and go. And they are present for us to enhance how it is that Jesus Christ is the center of our lives. Scripture is the place of the foundation of our vocabulary of faith. For some, it's an intellectual journey to discover what we believe. And for some of us, our experience interacts with our intellect and the vocabulary of faith of the tradition. The church, and where the group of people, the church is a word not about this building, not about Sunrise. It's about the community of faith in a given moment. It's the body of Christ, the family of God. It's we who sit with one another and explore the faith. It's we who bond together in the name of Jesus Christ. We hold each other. For some, we trust our elders. Many of you hear me more and more. Today, I'm getting to wear a stole from my father's collection. And I'm proud to be in the legacy of my dad. You've heard me trying to wrestle with a truth of theological reflection that my father gave, that said that the scripture said in Isaiah during Christmas season, "You shall name him Emmanuel, God with us." And instead, they named him Jesus. And I see the puzzled look on my dad and his curmudgeon attitude, and he says, "You know, the early church got it wrong. God is with us. And yet Jesus saves us." Christ, Jesus, means God saves us. God saves us. God is with us. Is it either or? Is it both and? Is it dogmatically one? Choose today before you leave the door in this building? No. There's something more about how our mentors interact with our faith and where we find the meaning of how God is with us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there are moments when we find ourselves in a posture of fear and anxiety, and Christ can save us and lift us and empower us, and we are saved. What do you believe about Jesus Christ at the center of your faith? On the Lord's Day, it's a commemoration of the resurrection, and Christ is alive and with us now. But there are those moments when we are influenced by Miss Wormwood, the teacher. For me, it was Mrs. Waters. She taught the middle school class on Sunday mornings, and she was stuck with a wild preacher's kid in her class, and occasionally she would use the right hand of fellowship to invite me to slow down, to quiet down, and it wasn't the principal's office, but it was the threat of my dad's office. I have no idea in those early days the chaos of what my belief structures were, and I'm sure I didn't try to burn Mrs. Waters in effigy. That's a fascinating thought, though, isn't it? God bless educators. Amen. They endure a great deal, and they guide us, and they direct us, and they help shape us, and they teach us and mentor us, and they give us the vocabulary of our faith and our belief. We cherish them as they're the origin. So with the Apostle Paul, we hear, "This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved." We stand in the community of faith together in our quest for this Jesus Christ who is alive and well today. And we believe Jesus Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together. And we cherish the idea that at the very beginning, our understanding of the divine and the influence of that which is greater than us that exists in our world was at the very beginning of all that is and the very beginning of each one of us. And somehow our vocabulary of faith is about God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, or the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation. And we hear the echo of how the Apostle Paul is trying us to take us to the beginnings of all things and to hear about the origins. What do we believe when we get there? Come, Calvin, help us. Sitting under the stars with the crescent moon, if people sat outside and looked at the stars each night, I'll bet they'd live a lot differently. Do you remember the last time you were out under the stars, feeling the majesty of it all? Some of you know that out in the West here, we get to see the stars, even in Colorado Springs. But you also know that when we venture out away from the city and the natural light, the unnatural light that we put into the heavens, and when we find ourselves in a really remote place and look to the heavens, are you aware how bright it is? Even when there's no full moon, and in what appears to be the shadow of darkness, the light of all the stars of the universe are enough to see and guide us. It's the powerful metaphor that is recreated time and time again in our belief system. And when we use the vocabulary, there is no darkness when Christ is part of our lives. The light will overcome the darkness. Jesus Christ, who is he in your life? One last Calvin. And Hobbes, walking on a winter day, things are never quite as scary when you've got a best friend. Amen? Things are never quite as scary when you got a best friend. Sometimes our beliefs come from the hymns we sing. Remember singing, "What a friend we have in Jesus"? He's my friend. I've always heard that Jesus is the best friend we could ever have. You hear me echo the sentiment that as much as we know love on this earth, and then as much as we've experienced it and we love, God loves us more. Christ Jesus participates in that love in a way that is a friendship beyond our understanding. Oh, if it could only be that Jesus speaks to us the way our friends speak with us. You have that one friend that occasionally will come to you and say, "This is not the principal's office, but this is me standing before you and speaking the truth in love. Whatever's going on in your life, you are a different person right now than I know you to be. What's going on? What's going on? Have you lost your belief system? Are you struggling in a way that you need some help?" There's nothing quite like a really good friend that assists us, that in the moments of chaos or the moments of great praise, they appear. Yesterday, I officiated at a wedding. It wasn't yesterday, it was the day before. That would be Friday. I was at a wedding, and I was the officiant. And the groom looked up, and his childhood friend that they went through elementary school and junior high school and high school with appeared from back east, and he wasn't quite sure he was going to be there, but he appeared, and he was at his wedding. There's nothing quite like the look of that groom when he saw his best friend at his wedding. Who is Jesus Christ to you? How do you discover that on the Lord's Day, we pause and we commemorate the resurrection of Christ, which means that in our belief system, the living Christ continues to live and reign even today. It's not something 2,000 years ago. It's something here and now. This I believe. This I believe. This I discover. This I dream. This I wonder. This I know. This I believe. What do you believe? Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Christ is the center of our lives. What's your vocabulary for the description of Christ? The words of the Apostle Paul? Yes, sure. But sometimes it's enhanced by our mentors, our faith travelers. I pray we've heard the words of the Lord today. Amen? Our musicians are coming. We have a story to tell to the nations. A story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to the noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. I pray that as we continue, there's one more week of an affirmation of faith for us here in the sanctuary, and I pray that you're discovering your own vocabulary of what do you believe? And as you're exploring that question, I pray you might even take a few moments somewhere along the line, make a few notes, put it in the Bible that is your family Bible or your private Bible that is near you, and put a few notes of this I believe. And someday, one who will pick up that Bible will say, my loved one believed this. I can too. I can too. This I believe.